So we're stood in an auditorium at MojoCon 2017, and I've just listened to Sennheiser UK talk about ambisonics, and I'm sold on ambisonics. And we're going to talk a little bit about what ambisonics actually is. Unfortunately, I drank some bad beer last night, and I think it's broken my voice. So I'm going to let these two gentlemen who are just about to introduce themselves tell you a little bit more. And we are currently using a set of binaural headphones, and these are the Sennheiser Ambio Smart headset. So take it away, guys.
Yeah, my name is David McClelland. I'm a MojoCon veteran, turns out, all three, tick, tick, tick. I'm a journalist and broadcaster based in the UK.
I'm also a MojoCon veteran as well. This is my third year in a row. I've been working at it for the last 3 years. Thoroughly enjoyed and had a great time this year. I've worked with David the last few days in the Teradek stand as well. It's really good.
So what are your main takeaways from the session?
From this session, do you know what? The first part of it was kind of nuts and bolts about virtual reality, augmented reality and so on. It had not occurred to me in the past, you know, sickness. We talk a lot about, oh, you know, sickness, put on a VR headset thing. You think that's to do with latency. You know, you move your head, the video's 150 milliseconds behind or something. You think that's what's making you sick. What these guys were saying, what Simon Beasley here was saying, that actually the audio is part of that as well. That's 50% of the problem, maybe. That if you're moving your head around and the audio does not tally up with the visuals, does not tally up with how your brain has placed the various objects within this virtual space in which you're supposedly trying to find some presence, that's what makes you feel sick.
Sure, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
I was thinking as well, like in a real life situation, the binaural sound is made for headphones, but can you get binaural sound in a conference hall, or how would that work?
Well, maybe we should bring someone else into the conversation.
Hey,
do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Nick. I'm Nick Mikozik from LiveX.
And you are obviously very well equipped and able to capture audio from spaces like this because you do an awful lot of live streaming.
Yeah, and we would typically mic the room and mic the participants. But when we were talking about doing, I was just talking to him about what we would do about 360 and getting good audio in 360. Right now, all we would do is an ambient mic that has no directionality at all, which is ironic. I mean, it would work in a really noisy environment like Times Square or something if there was no event nearby that was driving sound. Because then you look around, it's like it's just crowd noise everywhere. Yes, cheers and crowd and confetti, and it's awesome. Right, but what I was mentioning is when the fireworks go off or when the countdown, this super loud booms, those come directionally from the top of the tower where the ball is. So wherever you are in the square, everyone turns up and looks over there.
Well, these are the cues that we talk about so much with virtual reality.
And
you
it's
know,
so
you need
critical
to know where
in
to
making
look.
It feel like a real experience, right? As realistic as possible. So that's why I'm really excited about this idea of adding tetrahedral mics.
So could you do it from a single source?
Yeah, from one microphone on top of our rig. So what we did this year, we have a stage right in the middle of Times Square. Right in the middle of Times Square. And so our stage there, we rigged on top of our scaffolding, 360 rig. And really good picture. We recorded a bunch the whole night, really. But those last few minutes when the ball drops and everything goes crazy, looks amazing. But the sound is not directional, so it would really, really add to it because also you hear, you know, somebody, they're singing Imagine over there, and you can hear, although the sound from the square is piped into speakers everywhere, so everyone can hear it, there's still directional sound that we can, as humans, hear, which we'd love to be able to put into the recording.
This is really interesting. I'm quite conscious at the moment that I'm trying to stand still so that I could give a perspective to where people are standing, but in reality, if I was using these as an interview situation, I'd want to create rapport. So talking to you now, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
being able to talk to me and then
so
picking up David
just
as well.
So the listener knows why the spatial audio has changed.
Yeah, I think of this as purely a POV tool.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to have the camera on your chest or on your head or, you know, on with your face or, like, or even the snap glasses, right?
We should probably have the camera on your helmet then, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because the audio panning needs to change.
If you're going to do that, then it's this one rig. It's head-mounted audio and video, and then it makes sense because your POV is what your POV is.
You, as a viewer, as someone immersed in a VR, in a 360 experience, whatever it is, I want to be in control of how I'm moving.
That's
I don't want someone else to move.
That's why we're saying I would not use the binaural is not what I would use.
Exactly.
I would only
but it's the same for visual as it is for audio.
But for me, this headset is the beginning of the change. Until I can have a binaural unicorn type microphone on my forehead,
right,
which plugs straight into my phone, 95% of Mojo will not be using this technology. And yet, all it is a box processing, stitching, which you could do on a touchscreen, which is all that's needed. There's a huge gap in the market there.
I would say there's a huge gap in the market for a unicorn shaped microphone that would go on your forehead.
Well, you know Steve Mann, the kind of original Lifecaster. Right. If you imagine what he looked like back in the 80s when he was streaming his life in video 24 hours a day, a backpack, all kinds of crap attached to his head. Yeah. It would be quite reminiscing. thanks very much, guys. Final thoughts on this technology that I'm wearing right now. And if someone could take a quick snap on an iPhone, because then you could airdrop it to me and I can use it.
Yeah, happy to do it, my friend. I haven't listened back to this yet. So on the one hand, you know, you're telling me how cool it sounds. I want to listen back to this. And that's really the proof of the pudding, isn't it?
Interestingly, I'm getting little to no... what do you call that? Waveform, like on Audio Boom, which is what I'm recording this on now.
Does it give you numerical data about it?
No, this is just a simple interface. It's popping up now, but when you guys were talking, that was nothing. So this might be low, but on a minute ago when I listened to this, I was really interested in how it sounded. And so let's have a playback in a moment if the app can.
My thoughts are that this is a great tool for POV type storytelling, where you're going to control the picture. If you control the picture, then you also control the perspective of the sound. If you're giving up that control, like in a VR environment, if you're going to have 360 cameras.
So you're saying POV as in kind of 2D rather than your
2D. Yeah, but you can move.
Interactive.
Like the camera guy, the camera is the eye, so it can move where it moves, and the sound should follow it, as opposed to just sound in the air.
Yeah.
I think what I've learned out of this is syncing up. Okay, binaural is really good for the 2D followed POV look, and 360 mic, as in tetrahedral, is for 360.
So as it stands, if you're doing Facebook Live, you're doing Periscope, and you want to add spatial audio to a certain extent because you're getting a number of directions, and think about how powerful this is in particular to the visually impaired community. This is a huge leap in accessibility when it comes to actually capturing a story. And that's why I'm excited, although very cagey at the moment about the price, because I wasn't dressed like I could afford anything, I think. So we'll see what happens. Finally, everybody's Twitter name?
At David McClelland.
At LiveX Production.
At not on Twitter.
Wow. How did you get that name? There must be millions of them vying to get that name. Nice one. Well, anonymous, probably some kind of NSA plant with all these journalists around. Thanks very much, Colin.